Today we're probably going to finish our bailout series, and we're going to talk about contentment, okay? Being content. I looked at the word content in Webster, feeling or showing satisfaction with one's possessions, status, or situation, okay? So content means feeling or showing satisfaction with one's possession, status, or situation. Let's read Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Worship was awesome today. It was pretty good. I loved it. You know how romantic for a guy, it's kind of cheesy? Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Being romantic for a guy is kind of cheesy. For guys, it's like, if I want to be romantic with my wife, it makes me feel cheesy. I don't know. Just like you have to be like, yeah, you know, sweet and cheesy, you know? That's why we don't do it so much. Makes us feel cheesy. But it's very important in marriage, right? Being romantic for guys is very important. Same thing with worshiping God. It kind of makes us feel cheesy. I mean, what you have to do is you have to humble yourself a little bit, right? To sing for a guy is like, what? I'd rather listen, you know? But that's why it's important. That's when we humble ourselves and we say, hey, I'm not this macho. I'm not all powerful, strong. God, it's about you. And I can become like a kid. You know, like kids, when give them a presence, they go, ah! And that's how we go, worship, praise you, Lord, you know, or glory, whatever. Anyway, but it's important, right? Just like for our marriage, it's important to be romantic for guys. And doesn't matter how cheesy it feels, so is worship and praise and saying hallelujah and saying, Lord, I thank you. There's nothing you can give to your God. No. But God is a spirit, right? So if God was here, I would say, God here. What happened? He can't grab it because he's a spirit, right? Obviously, God can do anything if he wanted to. But in his state, he's a spirit. So he cannot physically grab something. So if you bring him money, it doesn't mean anything. If you bring him anything, it doesn't mean anything. He wants the heart. Love, you cannot grab love. Like I grabbed this piece of paper, right? Why? Because love is spiritual. If I can't feel it, if I can't touch it, then why do we need it? No, seriously, why do we need it? Why do ladies and wives and want to hear I love you so much? And we guys too. We want to hear that we love. We want to know that we loved. We don't want to hear it so much. We want to know it. And the reason God wants, but the only thing you can give that's not physical to your spouse is you can love them. Yes, it's expressed physically, but that's a second step. First step is love. You show it. You speak it. Right? Same thing with God. If you couldn't give him anything physical, what would you give him? You can give him your adoration. You can give him your love. You can give him your praise. Because words are spiritual. Because a thought plus a sound equals a word. Simple. Thought is a spiritual thing. Pretty deep, huh? Thought is a spiritual thing. Sound is a physical thing. That's why when you think it, it's not real yet until you speak it. When you speak it, that's it. It goes. Forever. Actually, echoes for eternity. That's why Bible says some things we do in life echo for eternity. They just keep on speaking and speaking and speaking. So that's why we worship God. And money is only a way we express that love, because faith without works is dead, right? So if I love you but I don't show you any works with it, you know, I say I love you, baby, but I don't want to be with you. I don't want to see you. You know, then that's not love. So love must be accompanied by works. Faith must be accompanied by works. A lot of us, we're such a faith people, but no works, and that faith is not real. You know, so it's important for us when we worship to speak to God. That's why it's important to pray. Every time you don't pray, every time you don't worship God, you say to God, you're not important. That's what we say to God. You're not important. Every time we take time and say, okay, I'm going to worship you. Yes, it makes me feel cheesy. Yes, I don't do that jumping thing. It's not me. I don't do singing. I don't sing. I just don't sing. but we do that. That honors God. Because that's the only thing you can give Him. Your heart, your love, your words, your adoration. All right. Wasn't that good? Let's go home. No, I'm kidding. I don't know why I'm saying that, because let's get to the Word, okay? 1 Timothy 6:6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. So godliness, what does word godliness mean? Can you help me out? Being like God. So being like God, that's our purpose in life. And then with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. You were born naked. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothes, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. There is two types of contentment. There's good contentment and there is bad contentment. Okay? So today I want to more talk about the destructive contentment or dissatisfaction that people have in their lives. And then at the end we're going to talk about what good discontentment we should have in our life. Okay? So we live in a society that's very discontent. We're not contempt society. Okay? We live in a place where we want more and more. And contentment is feeling satisfaction with one's possession, status, and situation. How many of you could say that I 100% today feel content with my life? Nobody. Wow. I couldn't say that either. Because I would be lying. I'm discontent with my life. Sometimes you can be so discontent that you can be depressed, that it messes up with your emotions. Anger rises up, and all kinds of words come out because we're discontent with life. People are discontent with the house they live in. Every so many years we want a new house. Or we drive by some neighborhood and we see a house and we're like, we can afford it, you know, baby. Payment is going to be $500, but if we really try, if you get a job, and if our kids get a job, and if our dog, Taco Bell is hiring Chihuahuas, so if everybody in our family get a job, and if Junior can do mowing, he shouldn't be, he's too young, but anyway, we can afford it. We're discontent with our cars. Every 2-3 years, I need a new car, right? We are a society of upgrades. Tell me about it. Our car is 3 years old. We would feel bad if we say we need a new car. So we say we just need to upgrade it. Our computer is a year old, especially laptops. How many of you know that? That's me. I'm guilty. I've probably had so many laptops already. And I use the excuse, well, it's a tax write-off. You know? Don't let me talk about clothes, because every season of year, there's spring clothes and you have to have this. And they tell you what you have to have. Then there's summer, and this is what you have. Then there's fall, and this is what you have. And there's winter, and this is what you have. And next year, we're going to come up with something totally new. We live in a society when we are told what to think and what to feel. If you're honest with yourself, and you'd be like, you're some kind of a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm not. I don't go there. You know, I don't think the government wants to do everything bad to us. But if you look at, we are told on TV, we're told through advertisement, media, what to think. Look, two people died from a swine flu. And they were probably sick before that. You know, the media has made it such a big deal that they said it was going to be like a plague that in the dark ages that destroyed half of the world. You find out it's a flu. So we're told what to do. We're told what to think. We're told what to wear. We're told how to feel. Movies, they model it for us. Big time, guys. So our discontentment comes from looking, from seeing. You know, let me tell you this. we must get about 5 Victoria's Secret magazines a week. Baby, you know that's true. You know it's true. Come on. I mean, the devil, you know, I've told Tanya, can you please cancel them? Every time I open our mailbox, there's going to be Victoria's Secret. I don't go there. I'm embarrassed to go there. I think I've been there once in my life, and that's with Tanya, and I ran out. But they just keep sending it to us, you know? Then some joker comes up with a little new invention, and they want to sell it to you for $9.99 of 3 payments. 3 payments of $9.99. And they say, if you don't have it, you can't be happy. You need it. Especially if you sit up late and watch TV. I mean, they'll try to sell you anything. And then they tell you, they connect it to your feelings. See, they study the psychology and psyche of human brain, and they know how to get us. And then they say, you deserve it. And then Starbucks says, you deserve a $4 coffee. Welcome to America, you know? You deserve it. I mean, what do you mean? We begin to think that we're entitled to. Yeah, but you don't have a job. It doesn't matter. I deserve it. We've been so programmed. Another word for that, brainwashed, to think how media wants us to think. And so the desires, passions, and thoughts, a lot of times come from the outside. And in order for our economy to function properly, we need to buy stuff. And in order for us to buy stuff, we need to be made discontent. And people know in Harvard and Yale and all those schools how our brains work. They study us. They study us like rats or something. I don't know. And they know, okay, so let's make them feel discontent. And then when they're discontent, we can offer them this. And then it's easy to sell. Amen? So discontentment comes from many different ways. You go to a new car lot, guess what you're going to feel? Discontent. You get another magazine, a catalog magazine from Victoria's Secret, guess what you're going to feel? Whatever you look, you go to the mall too many times, even if you don't buy anything, guess what you're going to feel? Discontent. Now, if you're like me, I have an Apple computer, and my Apple computer does not work with my Creative Zen that I have. And so guess what's logical thing to do? Go buy an iPod, because it doesn't work. Yeah, we have 3 computers in the house, but, you know, and 2 of them are Mac, but no, the one you have to go to the basement, so I gotta buy me a new iPod. And so I go to the store with the kids and the wife to Best Buy, and I look at them, and you know how I am. I looked at them, and I said, no. Because I am what? A saver. And savers usually, like, they hoard a little bit. So they're like, and I felt so good. And Tanya like, oh, here we go again. Here goes again. And so, but usually, and the spender would be like, so I found excuse why I shouldn't buy it. And the spender would find excuse why they should buy it. I found excuse why I shouldn't buy it. Spender would find a way to buy it. Okay? But it's just, you need this next thing. You can't live without it. And it's like, we are upgrade society. So the person is never enjoying money or even the stuff that they have, but they always chase after it. Let me show you something out of Ecclesiastes quick. Discontentment is dangerous. That's what I want to say. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19 says this. As for every man whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. For he will not dwell dully on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. So pretty much what this saying is that if a person is able to have stuff and enjoy it, it's a gift of God. But a lot of people are not like that. Let me show you another verse. It says, a man whom God given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it is an evil affliction. I love that verse. You know why? God says, there's people in this world, and that's very evil. They possess a lot of stuff. They have money. They have wealth. They have honor. But yet they can't use it. And a foreigner uses it when they die. Some people, they have money, they have stuff, but they live miserably. And Bible says that's an evil thing in this world. So what it says is, if you're not content with what you have, because I'm speaking to both sides of people, those who hoard and those who spend. So if you are a hoarder and you have money, but you never get to enjoy it, guess what? Bible says that's an evil. And it's not so much evil for God, but it's evil for you. For me, sometimes you make, and you never spend. That's what this contentment is. And God does not find pleasure when we only work, but never get to enjoy life. Ecclesiastes 5:20.
God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past.
Look at that. So one side, God says, it's a gift of God when you can enjoy life and spend it. It's a gift of God. And it's almost like a curse or evil or burden when you can save and never spend. Now, how does it apply to the spenders though? Because now you're looking at people like me and you're saying, well, see, you can never enjoy. At least I'm enjoying my money, you know, so I spend it. Well, the same thing. You never really enjoy your stuff. You buy it and it lays in your closet for years and you wear it once. You don't really enjoy it because tomorrow you want a new thing, and Thursday you want a new thing. So you see, one hoards and never enjoys, another one spends and never enjoys. We're like a compulsive greed disorder, you know? I mean, we got so much stuff. I mean, we just keep it and we want more and more, and yet we're never happy. Can I ask this to older and married people? When were you the happiest in your life? They asked this to married couples, and there's a survey, and most couples said that they were happier when they didn't have anything. Can you believe that? So it's not the possessions that make us happy. It's not that hoarding and having big savings account that makes us happy. Because Bible says that's an evil. Some people die never spending money, and they just collected it, and never spend it. Some people spend it but never enjoyed it. And so God says there's a balance between there. Money is such a thing that we have to balance. So those who are very big, you know, they don't enjoy life. Kids come to you and say, can I have some money? No, I don't have any. You know, and you have big bank accounts. On the opposite side, you're like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You can have it all. Let me get some from my credit card and you can have some too. You know, and so both fall from the one or the other side of this medium, of this balance. So it's dangerous to be discontent. Okay, what fuels discontentment? And I'm going to show you the biggest one, quick. It's our eyes. Our eyes are the biggest discontentment engine. Okay, listen to what Proverbs 27:20 says. Death and destruction are never satisfied, nor are the eyes of men ever satisfied, and women. So the more you see things, the more you are not satisfied. So the more commercials you watch, the more catalogs you look through, the more car lots you drive, the more neighborhoods you cruise around on your weekends, the more unsatisfied you become. So our eyes are big engine that fuels, that drives our discontentment. And so sometimes the advice is today is to maybe cut a little bit of our eyes consumption. I know we talk about eating a lot and gluttony, but eyes are too. What are we looking at? I was listening to a conference this week, and a professor was teaching how you should try looking at little things. He said, look at something for an hour. At least once a day, he says, just go outside and look at the leaf. And just look at it for an hour. And just look at it. See what you will see. And I did that to a tree, and I was like looking at the bark. No, seriously, I was looking at the bark, and it was beautiful. I mean, after a while, you begin to see things you don't see. Like, I've noticed there's actually moss on the bark. Then I started noticing all the curves and all the different things. I mean, and I was pretty happy about it. See, we never slow down to really look and enjoy something, enjoy our family, enjoy what we already have. We always in a driven mode, I want more. I need this and this, and if I had this, it would make me happy. If I had this, it would make me happy. But God says, I want you to be happy now. As a Christian, John chapter 10 verse 10 says, Jesus said this, I have come to give you life to its fullest. So for a Christian, discontentment is almost a sin. God loves a cheerful, help me out. God loves a cheerful husband. God loves a cheerful wife. God loves a cheerful worshiper. God loves a cheerful giver. Do you think God wants you to be mourning all the time? God, oh my goodness. My wife wants me to be cheerful, not a grumpy. God loves a cheerful person. You know, there is a phrase, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Maybe you've heard that phrase. God is glorified when you are satisfied in Him. And discontentment is saying to God, you are too small because you couldn't make me satisfied. Because you can't satisfy me. So you're making big God look very small in your own mind when you're discontent. Contentment takes practice. I'm serious. We have to begin to practice contentment. We have to begin to look at what we have. It's not just the house we're discontentment. Then we're discontent with our children, with our spouses, with our husband and wife. We're discontent with our family. Everything we're discontent with. Parents, you know. But that's an attitude. And God wants us to be godly and content. Meaning satisfied. God wants us to lighten up and live. And sometimes as Christian, oh, I'm suffering for Christ. Depression is good, you know. Makes me feel godly. You know, that's an Eastern religion. You know, that's what they do up there. You know, meditation, you know, and suffering and being a worm in the next life. You know, that's another religion. That's not our religion. God loves a cheerful person. God loves a cheerful Christian. And when we're discontent, we're not cheerful. Because we're walking with negative emotions always. It's not that we enjoy life and everything we see reminds us how big Jesus is and how life is complicated and even problems remind us of this huge Jesus. But no, oh, problems are bad and I need more stuff so it can make me feel better. The reason we get into financial problems, where I'm going with this, is because we're discontent. It's never enough. So we borrow money. And we find a way to borrow and it's dangerous for rich people to be discontent. It's dangerous for middle class people to be discontent. It's dangerous for poor people to be discontent. Bible teaches contentment. Being happy and satisfied with what you have. There's things we should be discontent about. Like our spiritual life. Yeah, we should never be satisfied with our spiritual growth. We should want to be always closer and closer to God. We shouldn't be content with our prayer and our time in the Word of God, in the Bible. We should never be. That's a good thing. We should never be satisfied with how much time we spend with God. It should always be, God, I want more of you. But see, if we're discontent with how much we have, we don't even think about God. It's on a second level. It's another dimension. Right now we're thinking, what can we get? But when we become content with what we have, guess what? We want to be discontent. It's a drive that's been put in us. And so we begin to use it and we start saying, wow, I want to be closer to God. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with God. I'm not satisfied. A husband could go, I'm not satisfied with my love for my wife. I should love her more. That's a good discontentment, wives. Amen. Wives should go, I'm not satisfied with my respect towards my husband. It should be more. Amen. So we begin to look at things. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with certain people. I want to make it better. I'm not satisfied with my giving. I want to do better. Imagine discontentment with your giving. Doesn't click. No, seriously, doesn't click, right? I mean, for me, it doesn't click. What? Discontentment with my giving? My brain doesn't work like that. I don't function like this. I'm loaded differently. There's things we should be discontent about. We should be discontent the things that profit us in our spiritual life, in our eternity, but not those things that we can't take with us. And I'm going to finish with Timothy, because it says, we brought nothing into this world and we will take nothing out of this world. But what profits is godliness, being godlike. And that's why we're here. So we can learn what it means to be like God. And how do we know what God is like? Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So we got to be closer to Jesus and be like Jesus. So every time we want to be like God, godlike, godliness, godlike, we want to look at Jesus. And He said the same thing. He said He wants us to be content. So I'm going to finish this and let you go. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and drink and clothes, we shall be content. But those who desire more than that fall into different type of snare and temptation. If you're not content, you will fall into snares. Financial snares, for sure. Emotional snares, like, you know, drugs and different things like that. All kinds of addictions. Pornography and all kinds of stuff. And God wants us to be content.